John chapter 10, verse 30. I got to hurry. John chapter 10, verse 30. Last week we talked about Jesus being all man, born of a virgin, lived a human life in a human body. His mother was a woman. And we talked about his humanity, how he had compassion because of his humanity, and how he was tempted in all like manners we are, yet without sin in that body. He was more than just a fable or some kind of a idol. He was really a man. And tonight I want to go to John 10:30, and I want you to talk about, I want you to see that he was not just a man. He was not just a man. And so look at John chapter 10, verse 30. In verse 30, he said, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able..." I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse. "I and my Father are one." I told y'all my glasses, I'm going to have to do something. He said, "My Father, which gave them to me, no man can pluck them out of his hand." But then he said, "I and my Father are one." So what he's saying is, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. He was more than just a man. He was the God-man. He was all man, but he was also all God. He was the God-man. And they would sometimes the disciples would ask him, "Well, show us the Father." He said, "Well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father." And he said, "The works which I do, he does, because he's the one that gave them to me." And so tonight I want to talk to you for just a little bit about saying why he was really a man. He was also God. That's hard to understand, but once you get that settled, then all the rest of the part of the faith in him is easy. Amen. Now, a lot of people see him as a man, baby, born in the virgin's womb, planted in the virgin's womb, born in the manger, and they'll celebrate that for Christmas, but then they'll see him as the humble servant. They'll never see him as the God-man. And then you got others like Jehovah Witness or Christian Science and cults that they try to deny his humanness, and they want to say he was only God. He was not man and God. He was just God, because they don't believe in the Trinity, and they don't believe that he came down in human flesh. They don't think God would do that. But he was, and I'm going to show you a few ways that you can tell people that tonight. I like to read history. I read a lot of history. I love history. Silver signs that's sticking up on the side of the highway that y'all never read, I stop and read them. I like history. I really do. And matter of fact, I can take you to one way out on the other side of Kershaw on a country road. There's one sticking up there in the field, and it said there used to be an inn there. And they had what they called, the British called their bar, the pub. They had a pub, and they served food and drink, and they had two or three rooms. And guess who slept there? George Washington slept there. And then there's another one down that way. It tells about Jefferson Davis as he was fleeing from the north. He came through there. And there's one right here in Rock Hill that Jefferson Davis... there's a sign on the road here in Rock Hill says Jefferson Davis went this way and he was running from the Yankees at the end of the war. Does anybody know where that sign is? Where is it at? Estridge. Yeah, behind the baseball field, right there on the side of the road. Yeah. And those signs are everywhere. I love history. So I've read a little bit about Napoleon. A lot of people say bad things about Napoleon, but Napoleon was a really intelligent man. He was super intelligent for his time. And here's what he said. He said, "I think I understand somewhat of human nature." Now, a guy was interviewing him to write a book about his life when he was exiled on the island. They didn't kill him. They put him on the island, the French did, to die. And this guy was interviewing him to write a book about his life. And he asked him about Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. He said, "I think I understand somewhat of human nature. And I tell you, all those heroes of the past were men and I am a man, but not like him. Jesus Christ was more than a man. Gives me a chill bump. See that little old guy standing there with his hands stuck up in there talking like that. Amen. The old boy must have got saved. What do you think? He must have got saved. We're going to see Napoleon in heaven. Amen. Amen. I like that. I like that. And so anyone that knows the Lord through the Scriptures will know that, yes, he was in a human body, was a man, but he was a lot more than just a man. No man ever spake like this man, they said. And so I found some Scriptures about him and about his divinity. Now, there was a lot of people that claimed to be divine, or they claimed to be of God. There were a lot of people that's come through, even here, you know. Some of them jump out in my mind. Old Leroy Jenkins, you know, he claimed to be of God. You know, he claimed he could do miracles and all that. Old Daddy Grace, the one house of prayers you see everywhere. He was a black preacher. He started the United House of Prayer for all people. That's the name of it. You can't write that on the side of your church van, so you have to put it in letters. I can't even figure out letters right now. Forgot about that many letters. Abbreviation. But he said he was going to die, but he was coming back. He was going to rise from the dead. He was going to rise. And they're still waiting on him. That's been probably 50, 60 years ago, and they're still waiting on him. So there's been a lot of people that came through. Davidians down there in Texas. You remember Waco? Where the FBI really killed those people, burned them out, and shouldn't have done that. But David Koresh, he claimed to be a God. In the end, he claimed to be a God. Jim Jones, most of you remember the Jim Jones Massacre. And he started in California. Good thing he got out of there. But that's where he started. But Jim Jones was Church of Christ, and he evolved into a cult. And he, in the end, said he was God. He was God in the flesh. Young Sung Moon. Some of y'all remember the Moonies. They used to sell flowers on the corners and all that. He claimed to be God, you know. So there's been a lot of people that claim to be divine or just of God who were not. But Jesus was and is God. Not only was, but he was in human flesh, but at the same time he still is God, because he was before, and he was during, and he was after, and he changes not today, yesterday, and forever. He was God before he ever came down here. He was God while he was in that body, and now he's God in that glorified body, see. So Jesus Christ, he didn't claim to be divine. He is God. He's God in the flesh. Amen. That's what we sing, Emmanuel, you know, at Christmas. That means God with us. God with us. And that's why they named him that. Jesus Christ is the light, the Bible calls him. Or the shining forth. Or the Bible calls him in the image of God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See. So yes, he was a man. But he was more than a man. He was God-man. See. And so tonight I want to show you a few things about that. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you will, look at verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16. Most of you already know this verse. It's going to jump out at you. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You know what that word means? Manifest. He was shown. He was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So, he was manifest in the flesh. You know what that means? That means to manifest something is to make it shown, make it known, to show it, to expose it. So, what the Bible is saying, Jesus was God shown in the flesh. If you saw him, you saw God, see. And so I want to talk to you just for a few minutes. Number one, here's one way you know. He had some divine offices that the Bible assigned to him. Divine positions of power and authority or offices. Look at John 1:3. John 1:3. Now you're going to have to go fast. My wife's done told me I got to get these kids out of here on time tonight. all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16 says all things were created by Him. So one of His divine offices, His God office, His God position is Creator. Now I know we talk about, when we think about the earth and the moon and the stars and all, we think about God creating stuff. But Jesus was God. He was God. So He's the one that created everything. He's the Creator. Number two, turn to Hebrews 1:3. Y'all going to get some Bible turning tonight. Hebrews 1:3. Now, God manifest in the flesh. He was Creator of all things. Colossians 1:16, John 1:3. Now, look at Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of His glory, Jesus, like God now, and the express image of who? His person, that's God, and upholding all things by the word of His power, that's God's power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, who purged our sins? The Lord Jesus Christ, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now an unbeliever looks at that and he says, well, that's impossible. He can't be God and sit down beside God. You can if you're God. That's pretty simple. He was God in the body, see. God, man, sitting beside God, the Spirit. You understand? And so, not only was He the Creator of all things, but it says upholding all things by His Word. So now, He's the preserver of all things. You know why I don't worry about global warming, besides having enough sense, no, there ain't no such thing, not go outside tonight and think there is anyway. Climate change, that's a new word. I don't worry about it. You know why? Because He put it together and He'll keep it together. I don't think all the nuclear bombs in the world couldn't mess up God's ecology. God has got it set. Now, yeah, man does pollute things. Man corrupts things. That's his sinful nature. But God has a healing process in the earth, and it repairs itself. You can go down there to the Exxon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. I saw not long ago that somebody went down there and took pictures. And they can't even find traces of all those billions of gallons of oil that spilled out down there. God's economy took care of that. And then they come to find out there's this little bacteria that lives in the ocean and it loves to eat crude oil. That's what it eats. And them little boogers went all up into the swamps of Mississippi and all up there where it went up into the mouth of Mississippi. And those little boogers ate all that oil. I ain't worried about it. God made it. He'll uphold it. He'll preserve it. For years, and I've said this over and over, and y'all old people, you remember what I'm saying. For years and years and years, every morning we'd get up out of bed and there'd be a big cloud of black smoke hanging over every neighborhood because we heated with oil and we heated with coal and we heated with wood. What do you think we heated with? Sun power, solar power? And boy, I'm telling you, it was a nasty mess. It was a nasty mess. And then, of course, we all got switched over to electric and natural gas, you know, and that burns a whole lot cleaner. But where's all that smoke? Where'd it go? For years, you heard them complaining about there's a hole in the ozone. The ozone's that outer layer that protects us from the radiation of the sun, and it holds the atmosphere in. And by the way, only God could make that to hold the atmosphere. What holds the air here? It just don't just float off. God does. God does. And they kept worrying. There's a hole and it's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. And then we got more and more cars. And you could drive from here to Charlotte and you see that black cloud hanging over Charlotte every time you drive up to Charlotte. And I'd see pictures of Los Angeles. You couldn't even drive for the smog. Where's all that stuff at now? It ain't because we just got cleaner engines, because even if we did get cleaner engines, the smoke would still be here. It went out that hole. That's God's smokestack. It went out in outer space. And what didn't go out that way went to the ocean. Did you know the ocean purifies our oxygen? And what the ocean didn't get, the greenery got. The trees and the plants, it got it. Amen? God takes care of His earth. Don't you worry about it. God made it. He'll preserve it. Amen? Amen. And that's how I know that Jesus is God. Amen? And then He had power over that stuff. He had power. He looked at a fig tree one day and said, that thing's useless. It don't have no fruit on it. If it don't produce fruit, die. And it died. It shriveled up and died. Amen? And so I know He's got power over it. He's the preserver of all things. And then turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Y'all listening? Mark chapter 2. I hope you're listening fast. Mark chapter 2. Look at verse 5. Mark chapter 2. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the... I'm sorry. Mark chapter 2. I'm going to wait on you. I get in a hurry. When you get there, say amen. If I heard two, I was going to read. Mark chapter 2. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Skip down to verse 10. You'll read the whole story, but just for time. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And the man immediately rose, and he got up. So not only is He the creator of the universe and the preserver of all things, but He is the only man that is the forgiver of sins. And only God can forgive sin. Only God. I dealt with a couple. I told y'all about that fellow. I went to the hospital, and his wife called me and wanted me to go pray for him, you know. And she said, I tried to get him, let me bring in the priest, you know, and do last rites. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. But I thought to myself, no hope in that man. No hope in the Pope. You come in there with a little bit of water, and you got that water side the same tap we got ours out of, and say some humble jumbo, it ain't no more holy than mine is. Amen. Matter of fact, this water right here is just as holy as His is. And it was distilled in Stamford, Connecticut, I think. Man, I might not better drink that. He's the forgiver of sins. No man has ever had the authority or the right nor the power nor the position to forgive not one sin. Not one sin. I'll be around people sometimes and they cuss, they hold back for me and they'll let one slip. They say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean. I said, don't worry about me. I'm not the one writing it down. I'm not the one you got to answer to. I can't forgive your sins. Don't worry about me. Hey, I couldn't forgive you. If I wanted to, I couldn't forgive you of that sin. Only God can do that. And Jesus Christ looked at that man, and instead of just saying, you're healed, get up and walk, He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up your bed and walk. And what He was saying was, I have the authority to forgive you of these sins, and I have the authority to heal that body. I'm God. And the man got up and walked away. You ain't never seen that before. You see these crooks on television. By the way, have you ever noticed on television they don't ever heal anything that you can see? They only heal what you can't see. You go in there and they say, I got a bad heart. And he puts his hand on your heart and yabba-dabba-doo, boom, and you're healed. Get out of here. Well, I can't tell if he's healed or not, can you? I believe in healing probably more than that guy that's faking it. I've seen it probably more than he has. But I'd like to see a guy walk in there without a little finger and say, I need a finger. I'm sorry, that's finger. I need a finger. My little finger got cut off, and that man can't put his finger back on. But Jesus could. Amen. He picked up some dirt one day and rubbed it in a man. He spit on it, rubbed a man's eyes, and gave him his sight back. Amen? Now, you won't find nobody else can do that. So he's not only, this is a title he has. His title is Creator. His title is Preserver. His title is Forgiver of Sins. Nobody's ever had that title before. Now, look at John 17:2. Y'all doing pretty good. We're going good. John 17:2. We want to get the folks home from California before it freezes over tonight and they die. supposed to get down to 20s tonight. They might not make it home. John, do y'all carry groceries in your car in case you break down, freeze, so you won't starve to death while you wait? Oh, that's Oklahoma. You don't have to do that here. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pick at you. Lord, forgive me. John 17:2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Did you know he's not just creator and preserver and forgiver, but did you know he is the giver of eternal life? Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can give you eternal life. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Why? Because he's God. God. And Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. What he was saying is that I might know him real good, that I experience that eternal life. I don't just know it, I experience it. He gave us eternal life. Did you know because you asked him to forgive you and save you, did you know he gave you eternal life starting that day? You don't have to wait till you die. You already have it. You're already living eternally. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. You don't need last rites. You got that done that day on your knees. You're saved once and for all, forever. You have eternal life. Guess what? You're going to live as long as God lives. God would have to die. Jesus Christ would have to die again for us to die. We can't never die. Amen? Amen. Boy, that excites me. He's the giver of eternal life. Now, you can go over here to the Mormon, whatever they call that thing. It ain't tabernacle. It's the square or something. I don't even know what they call it. But you can go over at that church, and those people talk a lot about him, but they don't really believe he's God. They believe he's a God. He's not God. He's a God. He was a son of God. And then he evolved. He worked his way into Godhood. And now he's a God. Well, let me tell you something. Mine is the God. Amen. Amen. Mine's the God. And he's the only one that has the authority to give eternal life. And the Catholic Church can't do it. And the priest can't do it. And the Pope can't do it. And the nun can't do it. And the cults can't do it. And the Baptists can't do it. And the Church of God can't do it. Only Jesus Christ, the God-man, can give us eternal life. We look unto him. We look unto him and nowhere else. That's it. Amen. So, he's the not only the forgiver of sins, but he's the giver of eternal life. Amen. Now, it might be nice to have your sins forgiven, but if that didn't give you eternal life, what's the purpose? You know. And he's not just going to save you for a little while. He's going to save you forever. Now, sometimes I meet people that don't understand what eternal life is. I say, he gave us eternal life. And they'll say, I'll say, have you ever asked him to save you? They'll say, yeah. I say, well, let me ask something. What about next week if you backslide? You still going to heaven? Oh, no, 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 no. I'd have to get that out of the way. I got to confess my sins and get prayed up and get saved again. I said, then he didn't give you eternal life. He gave you temporary eternal life. And they can't understand it, see. I am eternally secure. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. I am kept by the power of God through Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. And I say this jokingly, but it's the truth. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. He's given me eternal life. I couldn't lose it if I wanted to. And by the way, you wouldn't want to. He gave me a new mind to go with it. I wouldn't want to. But the point is, the Pope couldn't do that. There's no religious institution could do that. Amen? Now, that proves he's God. There's never been another man that could look at you and say, I'm giving you eternal life. Get up and walk. Never been another man said that. Because he never had the authority to say that. Only God could say that. So when I say Jesus is God, that's what I mean. Yes, he's man in a human body, but he's God in that body, see. The giver of eternal life. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Y'all doing real good for Wednesday night. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 1. The Apostle Paul's talking. He's talking to young Timothy. He said, I'm charging you. I'm commanding you. I'm telling you what to do now. I'm charging thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he put these names together. Before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? Which one? Well, they're the same one. He didn't have to distinguish. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now, he didn't distinguish between God and Jesus Christ. He just set them together. And he says, who judges? Those are the ones together. It's him in the body, okay? And look what he is. He is a judge. That word quick means living. How many of y'all ever bit your fingernail down into the quick? Most everybody in here has done that. Well, you know what? That fingernail's dead. That's just protein or something. It's dead. You can cut on it, scrape on it. These women grind them and file them and everything else. They don't hurt. They have no life in them. But boy, if you ever get past that fingernail into that living meat, it'll hurt. And that word quick that we say we bit into the quick, that's an old English word, means alive. So we bit past the dead into the alive, see. So he said, God and Jesus Christ, who at his appearing, his, not theirs, his appearing, he will be judge of the living and the dead. That's who he's coming back to judge, the living and the dead. So that's one of his divine offices, one of his titles, the judge of the living and the dead. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, go back to Revelation. He talks about those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. On that resurrection of the lost people, he's going to judge them. See, now they're already in hell, but that body will be reunited with their spirit, just like ours will be, and just like we'll be judged for reward or loss of reward, they'll be judged to determine amount of punishment or kind of punishment in the lake of fire. God's a just God. He's not going to punish that 18-year-old boy that wouldn't receive Christ like he's going to punish that 35-year-old mass murderer. He's just, but both will be in the lake of fire, but it will be different judgments. And so his job, his title, his position is, he'll be the judge of the living and the dead. Amen? He's not just judging those of us that's here now. He's judging those in the cemetery too when he comes back. Amen? Amen. And these are titles, see. These are positions that no common man could claim. Not one. Now, if you'll ever get that settled, that he is all of these things and a human body, you won't have a problem following Christ. You see, I don't have a problem when I talk about the man, Jesus Christ. I see him as God. Now, I know he's in a human body, but he took on that body in order to live a sinless life and keep the law of God that we can't keep, and then to die in our place. That's why he took on a body. And some people say, well, if they hadn't killed him, he'd still be here. No, sir. He came to die. See? And so, when we talk about Jesus Christ, yes, I see a body. In my mind's eye, I see a man in a glorified body. But when I see him, I recognize him. That's God. You say, well, what about the Trinity? There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're all God. You say you worship three gods. No, I just worship one. See, that's where the Muslims can't understand it. That's where the cults can't understand it. But when we look at one, we see them all, see. We don't differentiate. He said when you go baptize people, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We was out visiting one night. I had a bunch of guys out visiting with me, and we went to this trailer park knocking on doors. And I said, now, I don't stay out past 8:30. People don't want to see you past 8:30. Meet me back here at the bus. So I got back at the bus. There was two of them missing. And I asked some other guys where they're at, and they said, well, they're down there in this trailer arguing with these people about the Bible. Well, before we ever got off the bus, I told them, I said, don't argue with people. Invite them to church, witness to them, If you get the opportunity, ask them if they're saved. If they're not, if you get the opportunity, tell them how to be saved. Don't be mean or hateful or pushy. Be a Christian. If they want to argue, say, well, that's a good question. Come church Sunday. My pastor will answer that. But they didn't listen to me. So they got in this house with some Pentecostal holiness people. That guy on television, T.D. Jakes, he's Pentecostal holiness. He's Pentecostal holiness. And so they got in this house with some Pentecostal holiness people, and those Pentecostal holiness people want to argue about baptism. Because, see, they believe you've got to get baptized in the Pentecostal holiness church in the name of Jesus only, and then you're not saved till you show by speaking in tongues. And they want to argue about all that stuff. So I go in there, and they just arguing. They're all sitting around, and they're arguing, I can tell. And so I told them two boys, I said, listen, they're waiting on you at the bus. Go on up there at the bus. I'll be there in just a minute. And I started apologizing. There was about five people in that house. I said, I'm sorry they argue with y'all. I tell them, don't argue with people. And they, one of them said, well, what do you think about it? I said, it don't matter what I think. I said, it don't matter what I think. I said, what does the Bible say? And they said, well, Peter said, baptize them in the name of Jesus. I said, well, in that same Bible, Matthew 28:19-20, it tells us to go in all the world and preach the gospel. And it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, making disciples. I said, you know what? When I say Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, he said do that, so I'm fine. Bye, y'all. And they didn't understand. They didn't understand. The reason they didn't understand the Trinity is because they couldn't see Jesus as the God-man. And they couldn't see the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God that God sheds abroad in our hearts. And they couldn't see God the Father sitting on the throne and Jesus talking to the Father. And undoubtedly they never read the New Testament because many times he talks to the Father and he said, I'm just doing what the Father told me to do. I don't argue about it. I just see it. I've never had a problem with it. I just see it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So when you say Jesus, you've said it all. Now, once you believe that, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and I'll quit. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I read it a while ago. Once you see that, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Here it is. God was manifested in the flesh. That means he showed himself in a body. Justified in the spirit. That means the Holy Spirit was in him and on him. And that's justified means that you could. God, he was right with God by the Spirit of God, preaching and teaching and doing works by the Spirit of God. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world, received up in the glory. You see, once you see him as he is like that, you don't have a problem with the rest of the Bible. You know, a lot of people ask me, they'll say, what do you think about the problems in the Bible? I say, I ain't never found one. I say, I've never found one. But there's some contradictions. I say, never found one. But and then they'll try to point one out. I said, well, if you'll just read, and they'll point one out in Matthew, and then I'll say, well, if you'll just read Mark, you'll see the answer to that, because the same story is told in Mark in a little bit of a different way. It's like two different people was there looking at it, and one said it this way, and one said it that way, but they were in total agreement. They didn't contradict each other. See? I don't have a problem with it. And when I look at Jesus Christ, I see the God-man. And I expect to see him as the God-man when he comes back. And I expect to see him riding on a real horse, wearing real clothes, and coming down here and doing some real judgment. Amen? So, yes, he was a man, but yes, he was also God, and still is. Now, we're getting around Christmas. That's why I'm teaching that. Now, next week, I'm going to teach about the Spirit Jesus, the Spirit of God in and on him. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God.